Pray for the message. You know, I haven't preached or done a Bible study for over 3 weeks now. I hope it's like riding a bicycle. We should pray, though. Let's say, Lord, I ask that you speak to us about our family relationship today, about who we are as your people and our place in that family, in Jesus' name. Amen. First part of this sermon is also about my summer vacation, an essay by Jack. You know, when a new baby is born, the first thing, where Jackie Caffold, you still got that kid? You got one back there? Well, when the first thing we do is we look it over and we try to determine, well, who does it look like? And relatives and friends become experts in detecting resemblances and how often have you heard, you know, she looks just like her mother, or he looks just like his dad, or he's the spitting image of his grandfather, or he, you know, that pits her mouth or nose or ears or hair. I do have it. On and on the survey goes in terms of that. Now, during our vacation this year, we spent a lot of time with our kids. I have 4 kids, and they're all grown, and they are all out there and there. And so here's what we did. We went to Memphis. We spent a couple days with our daughter Jessica and her husband and their 3 kids. And I swear to God that Jessica's youngest daughter, who is about 3 or 4, looks and acts just like Jessica did. She's a thief. She can steal the wallet right out of your pocket and you'll never even know it. She looks like Jessica and everything. Then we went on down south to Gulf Coast area, and we went to New Orleans, where my son is now living and working in New Orleans down there. And the gal that he rents the room from her in the house that he's at and stuff, she said, I was talking to her, and Jason and I were there, and she said, my God, you guys look just alike. You got the same mannerisms as your father? And she just went on and on about the resemblances. Now, of course, any of you know my brother and I, you stick us together, and we all have that same look, and he's the good-looking one, but we have our idiosyncratic behavior. Then we went on over to the east side of Florida, Daytona area, and our daughter Jocelyn came up from Cuesta, Florida, and she spent 3 days with us, and she's married to a lawyer, and my dad said one time, when she married him, well, he's going to have to get over that. But Tim commented to Berta, she says, you know what it's like to be married to a female Jack? And then we're on our way back, and we went through Atlanta, where my son John lives, and their 2 kids, and Allison, who is a Smith, and their son, Smith, I call him Smythe, Smith, he is about 3 years old, and he is the spitting image of John. If I were to get out his pictures when he was that age, he looks just like him. Now, there may be some reaction from the Smith side of the family, I don't know, but he does look that, but Felicity looks like her mother. So all these family resemblances. And you can see them. But one thing I figured out, it is better to go on a vacation and see all your kids than to have them with you the whole time. Which we did. Now, I am the attributes of both sides of the family come into play. There's just a striking family resemblance. Now, when I look around at the kids in the church here, if I didn't know you, I bet 90% of the time I could pick out who the parents were of these children just by looks and mannerisms. When it comes to the Pitzer household, all 4 of my kids show all kinds of genetic resemblance to me and Berta. I get the baby pictures out in front of you. Chances are you'd not be able to tell which is which, but you can see that they were all mine and Berta's. I looked at a wedding picture with my son Jason and a college picture of my son Jason and myself, a college picture, and a spitting image. I saw you, Brian, and your son, and I swear to God, you looked exactly alike. It was weird. You know, it's just weird sometimes, these resemblances. This kind of family resemblance carries over to the children of God as well. Christians who are born into the kingdom of God by faith can be sure about some things. We have a lordly lineage, and we have a spiritual genetic makeup as well as human genetics. I have a couple of scriptures here I'd like for you to read. I'd like to read the 1 John 5:1 first. Here we go. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Now back up and read 1 John 3:1-2. Here we go. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, every one of us has an earthly heritage. My background is Scotch-Irish on my mother's side and German on my father's side, so I presume I get a lot of my order and discipline from my German background. But my humor and fun-seeker type thinking comes from the scotch that the Irish in me drank. Just saying. There are good people in my ancestry as well. There are also a couple of them that are questionable. I don't think they were a horse thief, but you never know. No matter what your ancestry is, every genealogy is made up of people, and all were created by God. This scripture we just read speaks about more about the fact that we are not just creatures created by God. All people are created by God, by the way. All people are creatures of God, by the way. But not all are children of God. People created by God, God is the source of their being. They are not related to Father God as family. Now, you have to think about this. People think about Him as Creator, and they might think about Him as Savior, Redeemer, but we are part of family. That's relationship. All people are not descendants of God. Only those who are born of God by the Spirit are children of God. The rest are merely God's creations. But when a person receives Jesus as Savior, something happens in them, something mysterious. It's spiritual in nature. There is a birth that takes place. When Jesus is received by a person as Savior and Son of God, that person is touched by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God touches the spirit of that person. And there's a birth that takes place in terms of their life. A person is born spiritually. And that is different than a physical birth, where Jesus talks about that. He says, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Water is by natural birth, but Spirit is to be born spiritually. You'll notice in verse 2 here, it says, now, we haven't always been children of God, but we are children of God now. We don't have to wait until death, but it is ours now in the present to be children of God. You know, when I baptize a baby up here or a child is born into a family, that person becomes part of that family. When a person receives Jesus as Savior and the Spirit touches him, they become born into the family of God. And that is different than being a creation. The old gospel song that says, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown, I'm a child of the King. a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Who is it is privileged to be a child of the King, a child of God? As many as received him, to them he gave power to be called the sons of God, children. Anything short of being a child of God is to be without a divine heritage, spiritual, genetic background. Being born of God through Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit is essential to claiming God as Father. We're not talking about Creator at this point, but God as Father, because fathers and children, there's a relationship. We don't know who or what we are except as our humanity alone dictates by our human genetics. There's an 8-year-old who wrote an essay on Quakers, and he says, Quakers are very meek, quiet people who never fight or answer back. My father is a Quaker, but my mother is something else. We're always something else unless we receive Jesus as Savior and we begin the life of following him as Lord. We haven't been born into the family of God, but are just a human being with a human background. But while we may indeed be children of God through Jesus Christ, there is also within us the need to grow, to become God's people with our lives. Just as a child is born, and we may celebrate that child's birth in terms of that, and God's grace in her life, and we may baptize them as an infant, but it does not yet appear what he or she shall be. In the scripture, we are called God's children, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. And the truth is, none of us are full-grown disciples, children of God who are finished. We are becoming what we shall be. We have not yet arrived. We do not become saints suddenly. We become what we have been doing for a long time. Let me say it again. We become what we have been doing for a long time. There are no shortcuts to being all that Father God wants us to be. We follow Jesus and we learn about who we are. We learn and then we follow Jesus again and we learn some more and we learn again. And it takes a while. Probably most of your life. When James Garfield was the president of Hiram College, there was a father who came in to talk to him about his son. He wanted to be his son to be. He said, "I want him to go through by a shorter course or a shorter route in terms of college." And Garfield said, "Sure, but it all depends on what you want your boy to become. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years." If he's growing a squash, it only takes a couple months. What do you want your son to be? When you raise kids, you have to teach them to be good. You don't have to teach them to be bad. The reason is they have you in them. Think about it. When you raise kids, you have to deal with the creature in us. The creature is not disciplined or ordered. The creature in us is not naturally loving and caring. The creature in us is naturally self-centered. The child has to be taught principles of living by education, those two things, education and also example. The same is true of children of God. Spiritually speaking, we need to be taught the truth of our faith. We need to be shown by example those same truths so that when the day comes when we are really fully mature in that, we won't destruct. You know, once a person is born spiritually and becomes a child of God, which this, by the way, you know it when you are. And that's anyone who receives Jesus as Savior. There's a hidden, undeveloped likeness of God in each of his children. But it takes time to grow people, spiritually speaking, into maturity. A child of God goes through the same process that a human child does. A child of God who's born anew, let's say at the age of 30, is still just a babe, spiritually speaking. We don't always see that truth because we're so used to dealing with people in a chronological kind of scale. I know this as pastor of this church. There are people who are born spiritually into this church and into the kingdom of God every so often. It may happen at a great banquet. It might happen at a Sunday morning. It might happen at a Bible study or something, but people are born into the kingdom at some point. And if you've had that happen, and some of you have done that under me, I know this, but that doesn't make you a mature Christian. The truth is, children of God, even at the age of 50, when born, still have to be taught by education and example about obedience, about disciplines of the faith, principles of living, what it means to be God's people and God's children, how to be loving in terms of being a child of God. We do not mature into fullness and full-grown, well-developed Christians in a moment. For most of us, it takes a lifetime. You know, a sign on a wall, a minister I knew, he said, be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. The truth is, he's not. You can look at this on both the good side and the bad side. Back in the 70s, the New York Son of Sam killer, who became the murderer of six people that we know about, he confessed to be. Paper showed pictures of his father, and he was weeping over what his son had done. No doubt when he held him in his arms as a tiny, innocent child, baby, he never dreamed of the monster that he would become. But he became a curse on his human family. What are the parents of Jim Jones back in the late 1970s, 80s, down in Guyana, who convinced 600 people to commit suicide? Or David Kresh down in Waco, Texas in the 80s? Or John Wayne Casey, who was murdered 33 boys that we know about in Chicago? These men were once sweet, helpless babies, over whom their mothers watched with hope and confidence that they would amount to something when they became men. They became a curse to their parents and to society. But you can look on the other side of this animal as well and say a baby born in a small apartment in a working class home in Blanty, Scotland, his mother named him David. How Mrs. Livingston knows. She didn't know that she had a bundle of humanity that was becoming, would become the greatest missionary to ever to go to Africa. Susanna Wesley had no idea, in spite of her hopes and dreams for them, that two of her sons would change the world for good through the hymns of Charles Wesley and the preaching of her son, John Wesley. Or Martin Luther's mother, though she loved him dearly, could not in her wildest dreams imagine she rocked a revolution in the Christian faith. It did not yet appear what they would be. And what about each of us? It does not yet appear what we shall be either. God has not revealed all he can do with you yet. He hasn't told it all to us. He hasn't finished with you or me yet either. Letter was sent by an 11-year-old boy who was on vacation in Switzerland. He sent it home to his mother, and the letter read, "Dear Mom, yesterday the instructor took eight of us up to the slopes to teach us how to ski. I was not very good at it, so I broke a leg. Love, Billy. P.S. Thank goodness it wasn't my leg." Sometimes we don't know everything, you know? Isn't that the way with God? Sometimes we only have partial knowledge of what is really going on in our own lives or in the lives of people around us. We don't have the full picture. We don't know the whole story yet in terms of our lives. God changes people. and situations beyond our wildest imagination sometimes. He changes people from sinners into saints. He changes crooks to become honest people. He turns liars into lovers of the truth. And he takes people hooked on alcohol or drugs, and he'll clean them up. And he gives them the power to deal with their addictions. And you know, he changes people with bad spirits into people with gentle spirits. And I have seen all those things happen to people. This is not speculation to me. I've seen it happen. Some of you may have experienced it happen or seen it happen as well in other people. I also know some of you have experienced it personally. The truth is, it does not yet appear what I am to become or what you are to become. Or put it another way, I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm no longer where I was. The Bible pictures for us what God meant us to be, but often when we look at ourselves, we're tempted to doubt if even God could make anything of the likes of me. But he can, and that's the important thing. He does, he will. And you may know somebody who is a real derelict in terms of their life right now, but I'm here to tell you he can change them too. And I've seen it happen. And I would say from a human standpoint, I don't think there's going to be much there. But from a divine standpoint, it's different. We will all look better after God is finished with us. There is a family resemblance in the family of God. In this scripture, we see that those who know Jesus are children of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall ultimately look like. But there is also a further promise here in this scripture in terms of that family resemblance. It says, and this is in verse 2, "Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but," here comes the third statement about our family resemblance, "but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." Now, hear this truth. This is the positive assurance. There is no vague uncertainty here. Other people may look at me and see a very ordinary human being and mortal, and so I am, but I am also a spiritual being. Many of you can say the very same thing. If you look at you, you're just a human being, but you are also a spiritual being. We may appear to be ordinary mortals to the world, but we're also born by the Spirit of God. We are spiritual beings living a mortal life at the present. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but little by little, even in our lives here, we are being changed into the very image of God. When Jesus comes again, we will be revealed to be like him, and at that time we shall see him as he really is as well. There's a legend about a hunchback prince. He was so bent and deformed and unattractive, he was just the opposite of what you expected a prince to be, tall, dark, handsome, manly. The prince commissioned a sculptor to make a statue of marble as he desired to be. And the statue was completed and placed in the courtyard of the prince. And every day the prince came and he looked at it, and he would stretch the shoulders back as far as he could, and he would reach and stretch and willing himself to be the man that he saw in the statue. And day after day he did this, and finally one day, many years later, the prince became the man in the statue. Those who saw him and the marble figure recognized them as one and the same. I did a sermon several years ago on The Lion King, the Disney movie. There are so many lessons in that movie as well. But one of the primary messages of that movie is that the young lion had to grow up to become king. And in the beginning of the movie, the baboon, who is the priest prophet of the jungle, he presents that child to the inhabitants. He holds up that cub, lion cub, in front of all the inhabitants of the jungle. And he would present that cub to them you know, whenever I do a baptism up here of a child, that's what I do. I present that child to you as a people of God. And when you do that kind of stuff, maybe you can see the family resemblances that are there. But you might, if you saw the movie, you might see the resemblance between the monkey preacher and me. But as in all movies, any resemblance of people living or dead is strictly coincidental. Anyway, the infant lion, though he was destined to be king, had just been born. He didn't look like much, and like the scripture said, it did not yet appear what he shall be, even though he was born a king. The Lion King had to grow up into full maturity in order to fulfill his destiny. And that is the truth about us as well. Take this scripture to heart. Read it every day. Work at following Jesus. Hear it again. Beloved, we are children of God now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to grow in the faith, that we would become more like you with each day, that you would bring us to maturity as your people, to help us grow to be the ones that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.